I think you can tell it's going to be a short talk. There's no PowerPoint this evening. So I think marking endings and beginnings is really important. And so one of the reasons that I thought it was vital that we had an evening like this today was that we made a big thing of Ruth leaving, not to celebrate the fact she's leaving or to make sure she actually left, but actually to pause, put a marker in the sand and say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done through Ruth's ministry. I think that's really important for us to acknowledge that, for us to honour Ruth as a person, but most of all to praise God and to celebrate all that God has done through Ruth. And what you get in this, in the text that I'm just going to reflect on, which we've just read, is really, I think, a description of perfect pastoral care. Now, it's written to a community of people, not an individual. But really, if you can get these things right, we're as close to perfect pastoral care and looking over one another in love than watching over one another in love than we're ever likely to be. And Paul starts by saying, verse 9 of the passage, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Literally, that means love must be acted out without a mask. So the word he uses is the same word that in the Greek plays they would use to hold up a mask in front of themselves and pretend to be somebody else. So what Paul is saying is, don't play act at being kind and caring, actually do it with integrity. Let it be real. And my experience, and no doubt yours too, is that Ruth's ministry among us has been one where she hasn't pretended to be nice. I promise you, it isn't that in the foyer and in the cafe and out visiting she's nice, and then when she gets in the office you see what she's really like. That just isn't the case. It's been a ministry exercise with a genuine, with sincere love and care. Not pretense, but heartfelt compassion for people who have come her way. And we, as individual disciples of Jesus, and as the community of faith then, are challenged and in fact invited to ensure that our relations with one another are characterized by the same values. What does that look like in practice? What does sincere love look like fleshed out? Firstly, this is going to be, I promise you, this will be the quickest six-point talk you've ever heard, all right? Firstly, says Paul, verse 9, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. So therefore, when you see things that are not right, when you see corruption, when you see attitudes that don't reflect the light and life of God, act in compassion and mercy. Reject the things that lead us astray and hold on to with all your might. Cling to those things that are good. Things that we cherish. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Secondly, put other people before yourself. Verse 10, honour one another above yourselves. And trust me, I've seen the timesheets for the last 2.5 years that I've signed off for Ruth, and I can honestly say that very often her own interests and her own convenience have been subservient to the priority of putting other people first. Even her own husband at times, I think, not in a dodgy way, but in an appropriate way, has, if you know what I mean. Anyway, she often would have loved to have been out walking along the canal with Les, or out at another garden centre having another cream tea with Les. And actually, some of those times, that's had to be put aside in order to respond, honouring somebody else more than herself. And the Lord commends that. And it actually longs to that attitude in each of us, not just those that are paid to look after people. Thirdly, sincere love is seen in a keenness, an earnestness to serve the Lord. Verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. In other words, don't be shy to get stuck in and get your hands dirty. Get involved. And in Ruth, we see somebody who has done just that. And one of the great things of having Ruth around is that not only had she worked however many hours, we paid her to work and a lot more, and then on top of that, you'd see her volunteering for prayer ministry, and on top of that, she'd be helping with this, and on top of that, she'd be doing X, Y, and Z. It was a great example of somebody who was not lacking in zeal and kept their spiritual fervour. And that's the invitation to each of us, to get stuck in, not to be bystanders, not to be people watching from the sidelines. Somebody said, you've heard me say it before, that the church is a bit like a football stadium. 22, 3 if you include the referee, people desperately in need of a rest, watched by 22,000 desperately in need of exercise. There's opportunities to get stuck in. Don't miss them. Fourthly, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Verse 12. So keep holding before each other if we want to be a fellowship that excels in pastoral care. Let us keep holding before each other the promises of the Lord's return, the hope that we have in the gospel, the certainty we have of heaven through Christ. And we do that as we await patiently for the culmination of all things, and we do so prayerfully, seeking God's grace, seeking God's mercy, seeking God's answers to prayer, whether it's in our time frame or in His. Fifthly, I said it'd be the quickest 6-point talk ever, all right? Fifthly, be generous. Verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Be generous in your dealings with one another. We, you know, we're good at doing this from afar. I don't know the figures, but I have no doubt the offering we took for Derby City Mission this morning was a substantial amount. That is completely in keeping with the character, the generous character of you folks and others in the life of the church. But we could do more, and we could grow a bit more in being generous in our dealings with one another. We're not the most hospitable people. Probably because we're too busy doing loads of other things, but we're not the most hospitable. We're not the most generous of spirit. And if we want to be a church that's perfect in pastoral care, and who doesn't, we've got to perhaps learn to allow the Lord to soften our hearts to be more generous in grace, giving people the benefit of the doubt a little bit more, more generous with our space and our time for one another, as well as generous with our things. And we've heard, I think it was Doreen, forgive me if I'm quoting the wrong person, who early on, Ruth invited them for a meal to their house, made them welcome, and helped to get to know them. It's a great example to us. And then lastly, a church that's perfect in pastoral care, verse 15, rejoices with those who rejoice, and it mourns with those that mourn. And actually, over the last 2.5 years that Ruth's been in our employment, and as other people adhere to, she's been around the place longer than that, but praise the Lord, she's not leaving the place. So I'm talking about her employment tonight. We have seen in those times babies born, sick people. We heard of, you know, Barry Cotton, I remember that, praying for him when he was ill. The sick people made well. Praise God for that. People moving on to better places, out of unemployment into employment, out of despair into hope. And Ruth has been alongside us rejoicing with those people, celebrating at the goodness of God. But we've all known also, haven't we, the sadness and the pain of death, the regret of unanswered or prayer not answered as we would long for it to be answered. Some of us know the heartache of feeling hurt and rejected or excluded. And time and time and time again, and I think Ruth might allude to this in a moment, we won't have seen up on a stage or the work that Ruth has done, because it's quietly been going on in people's homes, in the church cafe, in the prayer room, in the quiet corners of the church where the spotlight isn't on, seeking to bind up those that are brokenhearted and seeking to be an ambassador of God's grace, seeking to reach out even that with God's hope and love. All of these things, hating what is evil, putting other people ahead of ourselves, being keen to serve the Lord, full of hope, generous in spirit, rejoicing with those that rejoice, mourning with those who mourn. They're not actually just a pastoral worker's responsibility. They're not the responsibility of just professional Christians. They're actually the responsibility of all the Lord's people if we want to build a community that lives like him and reaches out with God's hope and love. So I challenge you to seek God's grace more and more for each of us, that we might establish and build that community more and more. But I also, with a sincere heart, am able to point to so many of those characteristics and see them in Ruth's life, in her own discipleship, and see them in her own ministry. And it's for that, as long as the many other things, Ruth, that we say, praise God for you, and thank you for all that you have been. Amen.